The Archetypal Tarot Podcast explores universal human patterns, called archetypes, by investigating the major arcana of the ancient tarot. We recognize these archetypes because they are present in our own life stories, myths, and culture. Each card represents a stage of the journey for understanding the greater story of our lives.
Hello, and welcome to the Archetypal Tarot Podcast. My name is Julianne Javot, and I'm a consultant who specializes in working with archetypes, and my co-host, Sindera Quackenbush, is a tarot consultant. Today, we delve into card number 7 of the major arcana of the tarot, the Chariot, in which we will discuss the archetypes of the hero as well as the warrior. So, hey, Sindera.
Hey there, Julianne. How are you?
I am quite well. Are we ready to talk about this fierce character here?
Absolutely. I am so excited to explore the Chariot card because it is the first card with a sense of motion in it. We've been moving through these very, very big archetypal cards, and here we find ourselves in a moving vessel. So let's take a look at this card. So in the Marseilles deck, the oldest deck, we have here a chariot. We have presumably our hero that we've been following along in this course, if you can see the tarot as a journey. And here he is standing in his chariot. He's got a couple horses that are pulling the chariot. They appear to be moving in opposite directions, though looking in the same direction. And we see that the chariot itself is built with 4 posts that hold up a sort of veil over our hero's head. The hero himself has a crown, he has a staff, or what looks to be a wand in some interpretations of the decks, and he also has 2 little mask faces coming out of his armor on top of his shoulders. And he looks pretty confident setting out on what looks to be a new journey.
Cool. So let's go back a little bit to where we were in the previous stage in the lovers. What was happening there, and how do you see that leading to where we are now?
Yeah, that's right. So the last card in the lovers card, which is often a card that means a choice that needs to be made. And presumably our hero has made a choice in that last stage of the journey, and that choice has catapulted him, whether consciously or unconsciously, onto this journey. So this is really exciting, and it's just such a new card for us, because it looks like he's taken up the tools of the previous cards, and he's consciously choosing more for himself. He's got more of an identity as armor. He knows how to protect himself, and he's setting out.
You know, this is the first time we see any kind of sort of young, forward-moving warrior hero type energy. We've been talking about the major arcana and as a hero's journey. And this is the first time that we're starting to feel that sort of heroic sense in an outward way. And I think the interpretations of this card, when I was doing the research, is everyone said, this is kind of a complicated card. There's a lot going on. But when I look at it as a stage after the lovers, it's the first time we're talking about it, but I think now's a good time to bring in Joseph Campbell's, his ideology around the hero's journey, because this, to me, maps really, really well to the crossing the first threshold in that journey, which is, I think, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 steps in. But this is like that big forward movement. And we'll get into the symbology maybe next about those horses or those sphinxes that are pulling the chariot that are kind of going in opposite directions. Because to me, that maps to another stage kind of farther down the line from Joseph Campbell's work. And that's the marriage of opposites, or the joining of opposites, the hieros gamos that he talks about. This seems like it's a ripe time to sort of like, what does that look like? How does that feel? So, Sindera, could you talk a little bit more about those horses that are leading the chariot?
Yeah, absolutely. So those horses, which is The next animal, I believe, that we've seen after the little dog that's in the Fool, is this is the next animal that is emerging. So horses, which in lots of mythology may represent our instinctual side, may represent our animal natures. And as you can see in this card, in contrast to the Fool, our hero has placed himself above these animals and is, you know, we're assuming has some reins at some point where he's needing to bring these horses under control to direct them in the journey that he wants to take. And so that's a very important contrast to what we saw with the Fool, who's really in touch with that little instinctual dog, and the dog is warning him not to jump off the cliff. And so it's really interesting to see that difference between the Fool, who is not armored and setting out on a journey and is up for anything, to this hero who seems to be a little more intentional. And we'll talk about later in the shadow side of this card, what might it mean when we decide to try and control our animal natures, put ourselves above our animal brethren, as it were.
Yeah, and there's so much movement here. And to me, when I map this to both the hero and warrior, which are the related but separate archetypes. But the key words here in being in a vehicle, having this relationship with the symbols of the animals, the moving forward, the possibly being impulsive, you know, it's about energy and conquest. I mean, this is the most heroic of the cards so far.
Absolutely.
There's been a big buildup. So we're moving forward in terms of how we might spot this in our lives. My sense is that there's a self-directedness finally, that compared to the Fool, not directed at all, or, mm-hmm. you know, reacts instead of initiates. This is
right.
very much about initiating something and about the act of being initiated through this process.
That's right. And our hero is needing to put to test all of the amazing things that he's learned from these huge figureheads from the previous cards. So he's leaving that emperor's kingdom, those mm-hmm. safe walls. He needs to travel out beyond those walls and test to see if his father's wisdom or that king's wisdom works out there in this real so-called world. That staff or wand, he's taken up the tools of the magician, and he's going to try out these tricks that he's learned from the magician. Mm-hmm. He really needs to see if all of the learning and all of the things that have been said in all his growing up years or in his training or preparation for this journey, are those going to pan out?
This card in particular reminds me of the myth in the Bhagavad Gita about Arjuna, or Arjuna, however people choose to say it. That's the first thing I think of, because it features a chariot. And just so in short, the Arjuna is, you know, has to go to war. There's a lot, he has a lot of reluctance. He is a master archer. He comes from they're considered five of the great heroes in the Bhagavad Gita. So, and he himself being a master archer, which means he knows he's got good aim, and he's also ambidextrous, which means he can use his bow and arrow and fight with both hands with equal precision. So that's an interesting kind of layer here for me to see that there's this heroic character who already has all, has developed these skills. But part of one of the big things that happens within this myth and story is there's hesitancy. He has a major ethical crisis, like practically on the battlefield. And Lord Krishna comes to him and actually ends up being his charioteer, driving the chariot. And there's almost this caesura-like pause that happens, because Arjun is just tortured by, he's going to go to war, that he's got ethical issues with it, there's family involved, and essentially the Lord Krishna kind of bestows enlightenment on him, but there's this huge amount of story that basically gets captured, you know, just as he's going into war and hesitating, and that his learning and sort of getting this enlightenment during this period allows him to move forward and be victorious. So I see a lot of that happening, both with the symbols and the actual, like, here's what can happen. And in that story, too, there is a certain point where you have to let doubt go. And we know in the hero's journey, according to Campbell, and according to our lives, I think we're always going to hesitate. Mm-hmm. We're going to be like, no, you know, being called onto that journey is just like, oh, heck no. You know, you're really just like, that's, you know, if you knew what you were getting into, you would never have gotten into it, which is why I think we start with the fool here. But this is very much about the hero, the warrior, where you do need to set your doubts aside and maybe let your fears help drive you to find your courage.
Yeah.
To face them and move forward. So this is the action card here.
Yeah. So this can be such a useful and beautiful card for people to meditate on or to use when you're needing a sense of that courage, when you're needing to put your spine up straight and to walk into that interview office or to speak in front of a group of people. This could be a wonderful card to help give you courage in these phases of our life where we need at least for a time to put aside that doubt.
To be able to stand up straight or, you know, anything. Mm-hmm. I think even in relationships too, you know, do you have the courage to walk into that coffee shop to meet that new person or to, you know, to put that out there? You know, the hero's energy can be helpful to get you in the door, to make those steps. You know, obviously there's going to be some others necessary as well in terms of relationships, but it's really big. And I like having it at this, you know, it's our eighth stage essentially on this journey where it's like, we've been prepared. It's time to move.
And I'd like to remark for a moment on, you brought up that this is the eighth stage, and it's also the card number 7. Mm. And 7 is a really important number, big number, right? 7 days of the week and the world being created in 7 days. It's really a sense of a new stage happening, of something whole that's taken place, and where will it lead from here? There's a real feeling with this number.
Also, you were saying too, when we talked about this earlier, the 7 stages of alchemy.
That's right. Yes. So what needs to happen for that common element, that common stone or coal or whatever you're starting with as that base element in the beginning, that there's 7 stages for it to become a piece of gold, a golden chariot that will lead you to whatever, eternal life or whatever that symbolizes for you in your life at the moment. So yeah, it's a big card.
What do you think are the possible pitfalls of this stage? We'll talk a little about the hero and the warrior in a minute, but as a stage, let's go into a little bit more with the pitfalls, because it's awesome. It's great. We're moving, but what do we need to be careful of here?
Okay, so of all the cards, we have here the hero with a really well-built ego. So, of course, this is not a bad thing. We need to have healthy egos to get through our normal day-to-day existence, right? Ego is just really another way of saying I. You extend back to Freud. Ego was the English word given to the more German word that Freud gave it, which was just simply I. So we don't need to just judge ego from that regard just yet. But of course, whenever we built ourselves up and we're being courageous, we've left that doubt behind, what might be our blind spots? What might we not be looking at now that we've thrown caution to the wind? And I think that that's really, that this dilemma is illustrated beautifully in the myth of Phaethon, who was a young Greek half-god man, son of a nymph, and he goes into the heavens to see if it's really true that his father is a god. And so when he goes to the heavens, he meets with his father, and his father says, yes, I drive the chariot of the sun, and I am your father. Any way that I can prove to you that I am your father, it will be done. And he says, well, I would like to drive your chariot. Phaethon says, I would like to drive your chariot, the chariot of the sun, across the sky for one day. And this his father is very nervous about and says, whoa, 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 whoa. It's a really perilous journey. It's not so easy. You know, I even have a hard time doing this. And you're young and inexperienced. And I really just don't think this is a good idea. I mean, I can't really refuse your oath, but please choose more wisely. And he says, nope, this is what I want to do. I got to prove myself to be your son, to be a man. So this is what I need to do. So he says, okay. And he gets these big horses out that are breathing fire, and they're ready to make their way across the sky, but they almost have, you know, they have minds of their own, and it's often hard for the sun god himself to control it. But here, Phaethon, he gets in the chariot, and he begins to make his way, and as you can guess, with his lack of experience, his lack of trying this thing, a particular thing out before, things do not go so well. In fact, I have a little quote here I'd love to read from Bullfinch's mythology, just to hear how it goes. So the horses, when they felt them loose on their backs, dashed headlong and unrestrained, went off into unknown regions of the sky, in among the stars, hurling the chariot over pathless places, now up in high heaven, now down almost to the earth. The moon saw with astonishment her brother's chariot running beneath her own. The clouds begin to smoke, and the mountain tops take fire. The fields are parched with heat. The plants wither. The trees with their leafy branches burn. The harvest is ablaze. But these are small things. Great cities perished with their walls and towers. Whole nations with their people were consumed to ashes.
Boom.
Whoa. So as you can see, mythologically, the consequences of too much of a heroic attitude at not a ripe time can lead to disastrous results. And so I think that there's a huge lesson in this card for all of us. When we put ourselves above our animal natures, when we put ourselves above our own human limitations, that dangerous things can result not only for ourselves, for like Phaethon, who fell with his hair burning towards this, back down to earth. He literally has to return to earth, right? Mm-hmm. But that the earth itself suffers. And I think that we're seeing this to a grand scale at this moment in time in our human history, is that humans have begun to way too highly regard themselves, have placed themselves as more important as other creatures, as trees and the landscape and so forth, that our purposes, our missions, our manifest destiny is more important than the existence of these things. And the result has been disastrous ecologically.
So what we can take from this as a stage, that the danger is to make that relationship utilitarian versus symbiotic. So, you know, I have dominion over everything. I will subjugate everything underneath me. And with that, when someone does that, when you have subjugated and you're not responsible, you know, the effects of what you do can be catastrophic, and you can't take those back.
Absolutely.
So that really reminds me, let's, if you don't mind, let's talk about the archetype of the hero. So, and I wouldn't mind discussing both the hero and the warrior, because they're similar.
Absolutely.
But since we're on that, the hero, what marks the hero is essentially their journey, feats of strength, courage, and skill that just don't stop. So if you're, you know, a person and you're wondering, wow, you know, is this a major theme for me? Is this a core archetype? I think we all probably have hero parts in our lives. But in my practice, you know, is this a constant or is this something really big? So are you being faced with these big challenges, confronting, you know, increasingly difficult things, often alone? And there's always a stage where the hero is going to be alone. And what this is sort of, what the overarching theme is, the hero is about initiation, about that going through all of these stages and then coming back. It's very much related to every single stage in Campbell's hero's journey. So it's this facing both the physical, mental, and emotional obstacles, confronting these fears, and being faced with, you know, compromising. And it is, you know, the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, all of the things that happen there. So The heroes, by nature, the heroes are resourceful, they're strong-willed, they might have a difficulty seeking help because there's a sense that you're always kind of alone, you're out there, you're doing it, and you're always on your own steam. And that can be both a blessing and a curse, because that part of the stage of the hero's journey is also having allies and getting mentors and things like that. And we've certainly seen it here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from that sort of unempowered perspective, the hero can become empowered in and of themselves by stepping on other people, by disempowering other people. So they have this, I'm a hero and I'll just step on everybody, who's in my way, climb on the, kick people off the ladder to get up there. So that's that unempowered, or what some people would call the shadow side. But in addition to that, it's the daredevil archetype as well in the unempowered. And that's that Phaethon myth of being a bit of a daredevil and not having, too much regard for the safety of themselves or others.
That's
You
right.
know, the person who drives extra fast along the curves.
Right. There's a belief in I can do this because it's me versus I can do this because I've had the experience and built up the experience needed to do this. And you get really big disasters when you think, I can do this because it's me. That's really
The
problematic, right?
hubris, and there's
Yeah.
the for the hero, there's always a proving of something, proving it
Right.
to the self,
That's right.
proving it to others, and something that happens too, both with the warrior and the hero, is there's this idea that it's all about victory and it's all about the goal. But what both archetypes can lead you to in terms of a higher truth or a higher knowledge is that that victory is just the beginning. It's
Yeah.
not just the end. You will never meet a more depressed hero or warrior as you will when they've won. Now you're done.
Right,
There's
right, right.
always, it's always just another step along the path. So
I always felt how I always wondered, like when the San Francisco Giants won, and just that huge excitement of the receiving of that title, and after all that time, but you know. How hard it must be to have to go into the next season and have to prove it all over again. I mean that just seems like it would be really stressful.
yeah.
Maybe that's just me and my misunderstanding of sports, but
No, I think it's, well, I mean, it's archetypal, that sort of sense of like, oh, okay, now what? I think that's because we naturally, because we are so in love with a goal. So like the lover was the last card in archetype, is that we fall in love with the idea of the goal, and sometimes we can not fall in love with the process of getting to that goal. So we were more in love and disillusioned by the victory that we want than we are of actually being in it.
That's right.
And, really being able to rest on your laurels, not just because you won, but because, wow, look at everything that I was able to gain and to do in the interim. So your rewards are basically being parsed out throughout, and then you just have the icing on the cake.
And Joseph Campbell would note that the receiving of the boon or the reward is only about the middle of the journey, right? So the responsibility of the hero, if they attain what they set out for, is to bring it back, and there's going to be lots of things chasing after them as they go, to bring it back to the community or bring it back to the home in which they left. So we're seeing our hero here. The chariot may not only be a thing that carries us into our journey, but it also needs to carry us home, to bring some new elixir to the community, to that emperor sitting on his throne, could use some new insights to lead his people and so forth. That's very important.
And the journey back to bring that boon, because the boon is, or that gift, whatever you learned, to bring it down to ground level. It's somebody who, maybe they went on a healing journey and they learned something more about the world and how things work. And that's their boon, and they want to bring it back to their community or their friends or their family. Part of that journey back, which is kind of the other half of the hero's journey, is realizing that your gift is not necessarily wanted at this time. And how do you deal with that? So you're coming back with it, and you also need to discover how can you bring it in a way that it can be accepted, or the timing of coming back with it, because that is another stage. but just to go to the heroes as we see them in culture, and in, this is, they're probably one of the easiest ones.
Oh,
you know, heroes are in
choose any film, right?
Any
film. You're gonna have the hero.
Any film, yeah, but yeah. I'll just name a couple because they're great ones to watch in terms of The Chariot.
Great.
And that would be Keanu Reeves as Neo in The Matrix. You will see that sort of the hesitation and the outward movement. Of course, Mark Hamill, you know, as Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars trilogy. An interesting one is Emma Thompson in the film Wit. You can go to my website. I have an article posted and shows you all the heroes, and there's plenty of them, and we're not at a loss for those. In Shadow, though, and I think this is interesting, Jeremy Renner in the movie The Hurt Locker, and it was only from a couple of years ago, he's that daredevil.
Oh,
he
yeah.
is that, like, whatever, I'm going to go get blown up, but he really wants to achieve, you know, the goal each time he goes out
yeah.
to because he's defusing bombs. That's essentially,
that's right.
he's in Iraq. And that's his job.
And he brings us really well into the warrior archetype, too, mm-hmm. and that the warrior is not, is a very actually dysfunctional and unhappy person when there's not a war going on. I get the image from Hurt Locker when he's going down the grocery aisle with the baby and the boxes, which box of cereal to choose, and there's just, like, no meaning in life to him, or there's no sense of connection to life. He has to be in that battlefield.
Right, so let's just roll that into the experience, the warrior, which is also a soldier, a mercenary, an Amazon, a crime fighter. There's a sense of tenacity, discipline, being a protector, having courage, loyalty. The warrior will wear their wounds as a badge of honor. This is what I earned by being in this fight, being in this war. They identify with the survivor archetype. They have a great ability to protect and defend, to be aggressive toward a goal, but it also has a lot to do with boundaries. How do you, are you protecting a boundary, or you want to cross them to reach a goal? So that, it's like that, the metaphor of drawing the line in the sand. The warrior is really good at either drawing it, walking up to it, or stepping across that. So that's that sort of psychological dynamic that's there with the warrior. They can push, but they can also stand guard. They know that this is the boundary. I stand here and I protect it. If anybody comes up to it, woe is them. They come mm-hmm. up across it.
That really suits this chariot card very much, because I see this hero in the chariot as a boundary crosser. He's left the threshold of his protected kingdom to go out and seek
Yeah.
new terrain.
And in its most empowered, it's focused
mm-hmm.
and it's courageous.
Yeah.
In its unempowered, you abandon your ethics and your morals and you just pursue victory at all cost.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter mm-hmm. what you step on. The warrior in its unempowered is obsessed with revenge or totally indifferent to anybody else's boundaries. They don't have their own boundaries, so they don't believe anybody else has any others.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see mm-hmm. that, we can see that at work. We see that in relationships, people who say, well, I don't have any brown, be brutal, bring it on, that kind of thing. That's that, kind of shadow or unempowered behavior where they're not recognizing other people's and where they have boundaries. In just to circle back in terms of books that I think might be interesting if people want to follow up for The Warrior, there's a couple I'm going to post on my website. The one I'm thinking of right now is Dan Millman's The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Takes on that archetype in a really great way, as well as for the hero. Interestingly enough, superheroes being very, very much a part of popular culture, Deepak Chopra and his son, Gautam, have written a book called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes, Harnessing Our Power to Change the World. Cool book. I don't know how people feel about Deepak or whatever, but you know what? I think he did a really excellent job with this archetype and how we can start seeing that in ourselves and pull it off the screen and out of the comic book. So there's that. And warriors in film, really not hard. I'm going to give you three because I think they're cool and they're all very different. Harrison Ford in Star Wars, Jake Gyllenhaal in Jarhead, and believe it or not, Sarah Michelle Gellar in Buffy the Vampire Slayer for these empowered warriors to see that in its different iterations.
And let's not forget Starbuck in...
In Battlestar Galactica.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my goodness, absolutely.
I have a big crush on her.
She is kind of, she has, I mean, you can go Xena the Warrior Princess, but you're right, Starbuck. I mean, she is very much a warrior. Watch, if you want to see that feminine character, warrior, that's a really great one to look at. The shadow aspect, it's pretty easy, you know, with the guy in Avatar, the Colonel Quaritch, he was a total shadow warrior, didn't care about anyone's boundaries. Also, Vin Diesel in the Riddick Chronicles, you see him in shadow and light warrior, but mainly unempowered. He's got honor, but he will step on anyone. Those are powerful archetypes, Miss Sundara, I think.
Oh, I know. I feel a lot of energy with this card. It's a great card. So many stories have, I think, are encompassed in this card and can represent for you some beginning to a journey for yourself. So you can use this card as a meditation, as something to focus on when you're needing that courage and needing to step out into new terrain that might feel scary.
Yeah, and I think our hope, just to wrap this up, our hope with these podcasts is not only to educate, but hopefully as you listen to these things and you come across them, see how it can be applied, see how it's showing up for you. And of course, both of us, you know, have our own specialized modalities working with these patterns. And we are here to help people use this kind of technology and use it to make their lives clearer, more resilient, and just be more fully in their lives. And this is a good time to say that because we're at the Chariot, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it's really about taking that in hand, so.
And from here, we'll be seeing so many different stages that are going to be facing this hero on this journey. Mm-hmm. And some of them are going to be difficult, and some of them are going to be beautiful and amazing. And if you also want to contact us, you can contact us through this email address, atpodcast@archetypist.com. Archetypist is spelled ARCHETYPIST. And with that,
see you for the next time. What card do we have next, Sundara?
I believe it's the Justice card.
Ooh.
Which feels like a really appropriate card to follow this egotistical, perhaps, journey that this hero is on, that he may need to come to some justice very quickly.
Movement to justice. I like it. Well, thank you so much for joining us for the Archetypal Tarot Podcast, and definitely tune in next time. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us for the Archetypal Tarot Podcast. For more information on Sundara's work, please visit her website, tarotdreamstone.com. For more information on archetype consulting, visit archetypist.com. That's ARCHETYPIST.com. Thanks for listening.